Hi there, welcome to the show. This is the Flight Risk Podcast show. I'm your host, Robert Bruton, and it is March 18th, 2024, and it is a Monday. So I hope that, what are we on, January, February, March? We're on the third quarter of the year, halfway through, or the first quarter of the year, halfway through, and wow. Time flies when you're having fun, I guess. And I hope that each of you are having a blessed day. And today's show is one of my books that we're going to talk about today is called Outside the Flock, Questioning the Herd Mentality. And we tend to follow the herd, if you will. And you probably heard that a lot during COVID, you know, the herd, you know, if everybody in the herd does, you know, this or that, and, you know, we'll all get better and yada, yada, yada. So don't even get me started on that. But anyhow, and this falls in line with some shows that we've done here in the last few episodes. And we're really kind of talking about, you know, being able to have independent thought, critical independent thought. You know, there's one thing to follow the herd, but there's a whole other thing is, what if the idiot that's leading the herd is taking you off a cliff? We've all heard our, you know, your mother say, if somebody tells you to go jump off the top of the house, would you go jump off the top of the house? You know, and... So, you know, we're all social creatures, and we have an innate desire to belong to a group or to be a part of something larger than ourselves, which is fine. Okay, that's cool. Now, having said that, here's something that I want you to think about, and we're going to talk about in this show, is pretty much about like what we said. If someone told you to go jump off the roof of the house, would you do it? You know, and the thing is that you really have to. You can be with the herd, but you can question the leader and say, "Wait a minute," and have your own thought, have your own. Well, for lack of a better word, have your own thought, you know, and, you know, you don't have to follow society where it doesn't make sense to you, okay? As long as it's reasonable and something that, you know, you're being lawful, you're doing the things that you're supposed to do, but if you disagree with something or you say, you know what, I really can't stand with you or them, you know? Not to bring a whole lot of politics in this, but there are times when don't you really feel like you just say, well, you know, I like some things on this side, I like some things on that side, but I don't like either one of them very much at all anyway. How many of us have in our lifetimes, sorry about that, had to move the mic for a minute, just said, you know, when you go to the voting machine, you're voting for the lesser of two evils, you know, and so, you know, we really don't have to follow a whole lot of just, you know, one person says this, well, I'm just going to follow them because that's the way it's been done my whole life. No, make your own independent choice. And that's in anything in your life. You know, you can be a free thinker. You know, you don't have to just follow the herd, you know. Not everybody, you know. It's like Socrates forced to drink hemlock. Galileo convicted by the Inquisition on countless nonconformists tormented by small-minded mobs throughout history. So you can be a free thinker. You can have your own thought. And why am we talking about that? Well, I can tell you this, is you know, if you want to find real peace and real happiness, you got to find it within yourself. You can't follow, you can't, you know, I see all these young people, you know, these young kids, especially college age kids and even high school kids, that are screaming these horrible obscenities. They're screaming at people who question what they're doing. And here's the thing is, you know, a way to handle your life is not telling everybody to fuck off because you don't understand the question. And you don't understand the question because you don't even know the reason you're fighting. Half these kids that are screaming all these things, when you start asking them questions, they don't know why they're even there fighting. So, you know, it takes a minute to sit there and go, well, okay, now hold on, stop. Okay, let's give this some thought. Whether you, no matter what you're talking about, go look at both sides of the argument, and then make up your mind which side of the fence you want to be on, or if you want to split the middle. You know, it's okay to have your own thought, and you know, it's not okay, at least in my mind. It's not okay to have some totally off-the-wall radical position that you seem immovable on when you can't even articulate the way other than fuck you or you're a this or that, and you can't really make a solid claim for your argument. And my whole premise with this is be a free thinker. Allow yourself to learn, even if you completely disagree with someone's right on abortion or something like that. You can totally agree with that. That's fine. God bless. But hear both sides of the argument so that you can make a good decision on what you believe. Not what I believe, not what I'm trying to shove down your throat, because I'm not. What I'm saying is for as long as I've been around this earth, you know, nobody likes an ultimatum. I can't come to you if you're not a Christian person and say, you have to believe in Christianity or you're going straight to hell. I'm a Christian and I'm never going to tell you that. Okay, that's your choice. You get to think and feel the way you want to think and feel. I get it. But do it from a position of strength. And how do we do that from a position of strength? Is we look at all sides of an argument and then make a decision. It may still may not sway you one way or the other. You may split the middle, or you may say, you know what? Those folks over there have a right to their feelings. Those folks over there have a right to their beliefs. I just don't happen to agree with it. I have my beliefs, but I understand where they're coming from as well. That's where peace is born, where we can all live in a peaceful environment, in a peaceful situation, where we're not out hurting each other. All these protests end up in people getting hurt, and it's like, why? Stop, wait. Let's have a conversation. I'm telling you, you got to look at both sides of the argument before. I'm not telling you to lean one way or the other. What I am telling you is educate yourself fully on both sides of the argument and then make your claim. Because if you're listening to the herd and the herd saying, no, fuck them, we're not doing this, they're assholes, they're horrible people, they're all these things, that may not actually be true at all. Not even close. That's why you can have independent thought. You don't, you know, you have to overcome that herd mentality and say, wait a minute. I think I still believe in this X thing, and I'm just using this as an analogy. I still believe in position X, but I have compassion for belief Y. I understand where you're coming from, but I still believe this way. But at least you made that decision based on your belief, not the herd's belief. There's a big difference here. So you can't come at me and say, just because it, and I, I'm an older white man. And when people come at me, or if they and they thank God don't, because I'm not, but for me, society's in some sections of society say that, that I'm part of systemic racism. And I'm like, okay, so I've lived on the street and been homeless for a time. I didn't, white privilege didn't come and get me off the street. I have a son who has a Latin American background. He's half Colombian. My closest friend in the whole wide world is a black man, and I have, in my career and in my life, I've worked for every ethnicity, gender that you can imagine, and been okay with it. I never, just because I had an African American woman boss, who, by the way, was a badass. I mean, as far as her skill and ability, this woman rocked. I've worked for several women that way. Worked for some pretty cool dudes. Worked for a Cuban immigrant, the hardest man I ever worked for in my life. But I learned more from him about how to operate a business. This is a man who knew down to the paperclip where his money was and what he was doing and how he was going to make his business better. He was able to pay off things in a huge amount of time because he focused his work towards it. And ended up, when he sold his business, ended up walking away with millions of dollars. And I respected him. I respected that. Some days he was pretty damn tough to work for. Hard ass from hell. And I've told him this too. I mean, this is stuff he and I laugh about. But if he called me and said, "Hey, Bobby, I need you," I'd be the first one pulling in the drive. Even though there were times when he and I had knockdown, drag out arguments. But it was never about anything but what we believed and who we were as human beings. Had nothing to do with anything else in this life. So, and he came over from Cuba during when everybody was coming from Cuba on the boats. Him and his brother fled Cuba, and they made something of themselves, and they were damn good men. Good families, nice folks. I love them to death. Good people. They came and realized the American dream. I have nothing but admiration, applause, and I have nothing but to say that I am grateful to have worked with them. Good, so I don't want to beat a horse here, but they are good people. And it just it, so there is good in every single solitary race, religion, gender, whatever the hell you want to say. Not everybody buys into the same, herd bullshit. Because you look at both sides of the fence. Is there, I want people to come here, just like my friends did. came in here and immediately sought political asylum and were given it. Took years, but they were given it and deserved it. Absolutely. So, you know, again, if you went with the herd mentality, you know, I live in Texas. I live in South Texas. I don't particularly care for everybody coming across the border. I don't, you know, I understand what the vast majority of folks that are escaping a terrible life. You know, what a lot of people don't know is how all the coffee plantations over the years in the Andes Mountains where there was horrid droughts are gone. Those people had nowhere to go. I get that. Welcome you with open arms. But you have to know both sides of the fence, because if I listen to other groups, I can say, oh, hell no. Get your ass back to your country. But I did my due diligence. I did my homework. I learned what's going on. What is making so many people leave their country, and for what reason? And when you understand that, then you can say, okay, well, then let's figure out a way for you to get through the system and get through it. You know, that's the whole thing, is nothing's being done to fix the system. The system sucks. I know this because my son's mother's sister, who was in New York, was going to be deported back to Colombia the day after. Listen to this. The day after 9/11, they said, and they were not open, that she missed her appointment. So the system, in its infinite wisdom, was going to send her back to Colombia, where her life was in imminent danger. And when I sat and listened to the story and understood the story of why the two sisters fled Colombia, hell yeah, come. No, absolutely. I'm not going to share their personal business here, but I can tell you they had a damn good reason. A damn good reason. Any reasonable person on earth would believe that. And one of the sisters, my son's mother, did get political asylum. The other one got political asylum in Canada. So they live very close to each other. But she had to go to Canada and apply there to not be deported back. But if I listen to the herd mentality, some of the herd saying, no, these people are bad people, they need to be sent back, I wouldn't know the real story, and I wouldn't be able to intervene in my way like this show and say, no, wait a minute, what was happening to them was wrong, and the system is broke. Otherwise, you know, I need to know the whole story. I need to know everything there is to know about any situation before I make a decision that affects my life. Because here's the thing. You can go out there and fight for all these rights and for all these things that you want. But if you don't have the complete story, and you don't understand, and you just say, no, I'm listening this way, and you don't give yourself that gift of understanding, you can still have your staunch belief. That's your right to have, absolutely, 1,000%. But be able to back up that with, this is the reason why I believe that way. Fuck you is not a reason why. You know, you're a horrible person, sir. I can't stand the sight of you. That's not a reason why. Not a reason why at all. I see, you know, name calling is not a articulable reason why. But here's the thing. If you can make your point, that's good for your soul, good for what you believe, even if it's completely contradictory to what I believe, I'm going to have a hell of a lot more respect for you and say, okay, we can still, we're going to be able to shake hands, hug it out, tease each other a little bit, and we're going to be okay. We don't have to agree if we respect each other and each other's rights. I respect your right to believe your way. You respect my right to believe my way. We don't have to 110% agree. You know, you're going to go fight for your rights and I'm going to go fight for mine. But we don't have to hurt each other to get there. It's just stupid. So, following your heart, following your educated heart, is disformative to your life. You know, uncritical thinking paves the way for spreading misinformation. You hear that word, spreading misinformation. You know, it's misinformation, misinformation. If you don't have both sides of the fence and say, okay, here's why I still disagree with your point, because you make this point, sir or ma'am, and you go through all of this stuff, and that just perpetuates injustice. Because nobody makes a good point. They just make a fuck you point. And that's just stupid for any reasonable person on earth. It's just not the way it should be. We can disagree. So, you know, make sure that you get that alternative facts versus, you know, what the world view is. You know, get your you can get your facts and you can get things that can put in context your beliefs, your identity, what makes you. You know, because here's the thing, propaganda masquerading as journalism fuels polarization. Just because somebody's saying it on TV, don't make it so. Do your homework. Just because somebody wrote an article or somebody is, like I am now, doing a podcast, check me out. Because some of you may completely disagree with what I have to say. But I'm not saying anything that's that complex for us to have a meaningful conversation. You can tell me I'm full of shit, I understand. But I also ought to be able to tell you you're full of shit too. And we should still be able to, at the end of the day, shake hands, hug each other, hug it out, and, you know, give each other a little razz or a little shit and move on. Because I might quote you somewhere down the road and say, you know, this is my friend, you know, Susan X, and Susan X believes this way. I totally disagree with her, you know, her outlook, but she makes a compelling argument in her favor. Therefore, I give her the respect of hearing her out, listening to her dissenting point of view, and saying, you know, this is a complex challenge. It is. Because each of an opposing viewpoint feels they're right. So if you want to impress me, use this analogy, and I use it in a lot of things that I've written and in a lot of things that where I say, you know, if you want to impress me, take all the brain power that's building bullets and bombs that can do things to human bodies that are beyond unspeakable, and turn that into some form of peace, some form of learning together. So the real question is how do you take the one fist that hits another fist, and in the middle, where is the common ground? Neither one is going to flex. Neither one is either one, you know. How do you go to somebody whose ideology you hate with every fiber of your being and say, how do we live on this earth in peace? We're all here. God put us here. At least that's my opinion. And so how do we live in peace? Those are the real questions. Those are the real, you know, it's just like abortion rights or anything else. The real question is that how do you make a compelling argument one way or the other? You know, all these women, I would make the argument, and I'm not saying whether I'm pro-choice or pro-life. But it does beg the question, your body, your right. Well, if that little body inside you was able to say, wait, mommy, please don't kill me, could you do it? Nobody really can with any, you know, we can say that, you know, conception is wherever we want it to say. But I think if the person that's inside you had the opportunity to look you straight in the eye and say, please don't kill me, could you? And you can argue back that, you know, that it's not a living being, or it's, you know, it's not developed enough to know the difference. There's compelling arguments on both sides. Do I think after rape, you know, that's another one. What is a woman's rights after rape? But what are a boyfriend's rights if he was someone that said, wait a minute, I would have taken the baby. You don't have to do this. You just had to, you know, have it, give it to me. I'll raise the child. Where are his rights? Because he didn't have any. Because if a woman wants to go get an abortion in a state where it's legal, she can. Doesn't make a tinker's damn. How is that fair to a young man that says, I believe and I want the child. Even if you don't, I'll raise him as a single parent by myself. Does this person have rights? So that's where we get to critical thinking. Listening to both sides of the argument. And that argument can be damn tough. Because I think in a horrendous situation that a woman does have a right to control her body. But then you have others that would say, who's protecting the child in your body? So you can see it could get ugly real, real fast. So have the forethought to look at things and say, yeah, that's a pretty damn tough question. You know? How do we displace our inner moral compass? You know, how many people have to get hurt or injured for you to make a point that's dissenting to their belief? When everybody should sit down and listen to, hey, wait a minute, yeah, I see your point. What I'm stating is that I'm saying for me, that helps me get through a lot of things. Helps me from not losing my mind over things that I feel strongly about. Because I have to, you know, until I can make a compelling argument that may influence your decision, then all I can do is just say we're going to have to agree to disagree on this one. You know, cultivating a disciplined critical thinking takes practice, but it is still a skill that anyone can develop. You know, honing in your critical faculties requires, first and foremost, a commitment to pursuing truth above all else. Do not aim to defend a predetermined position or bolster your ideological identity. That is the path of motivated reasoning and confirmation bias. Instead, vow to go wherever the evidence leads, even if it contradicts your beliefs or makes you uncomfortable. Absorb this as a core part of your identity. You are an impartial truth seeker. How can that be bad? How could anything stated that way, how could that be bad? That honing your critical faculties requires, first and foremost, a commitment to pursuing truth above all else. So many people go out and have this predetermined position before they have all of their faculties, or all of their excuse me, not faculties, all of their evidence that supports their take on it and not have listened to a dissenting view. You know, how is that even helpful? All right. We're going to take a short break while I get a drink of water before I start coughing like crazy. Sorry about that. I have a little bronchitis, and if I start having a coughing fit, I would. Thanks, dude, for making all that noise into my headphones. But anyway, getting back to where we were, it's. Hang on, let me get this. Okay. You know, it's. You can have any view you choose. But what I'm suggesting is, and what gets you out of that herd mentality, is, are you following a predetermined, motivated reasoning? Are you following what everybody else says? Well, this is what my friends say. This is what my professor says. This is what my... Does that make them 100% right? Or do you say, well, you know, there appears to be a whole bunch of people on this side of the argument that show up at the same rallies we are. Why are they there? And they not, and some of these people may not be there for the right reason. So you may have to get out and do, you know, there can be people, I see people at protests all the time that are just there to start shit. You know, they're just there to start trouble. And that doesn't solve shit either. You know, that just divides us as a country. No, you may have to do a little homework. You may have to do some Google searches. You may have to read some articles. You may have to go to the library and say, hey, what do you have on these things? You know, I heard a lady the other day using a quote from Dr. Martin Luther King that was taken out of context, talking about riots. And this is a woman that's a government representative. And I'm sitting there going, wait a minute. You go into YouTube and you look up what he said, and then you get to the 60 Minutes interview where he said it to Mike Wallace, and you're going, well, that's not what he said at all. The woman was making a good point until she embellished it with stuff that's not what, you know, of all the people in this last, and I'm going to say this last century, that deserve respect, is Dr. Martin Luther King. He fought peaceably for civil rights. And he deserves and gets my respect. But as a human being on this earth, I don't want somebody to use what he said and twist it into their narrative. Because that's not, you're going to besmirch Dr. King's legacy by calling for violence. And that wasn't anything that man stood for. But I went out and I did my homework. Because I think what is happening in certain areas is completely wrong. Completely wrong. You know, is there a ways to go in our country? Absolutely. Is it that way everywhere? No, it's not. And to think it is just being short-sighted, because you have to look. I honest to God don't know anybody, Hispanic, Asian, Black, White. I don't know anybody that doesn't get along on a human level. I have a ton of colleagues around the world from all kinds of different backgrounds that don't support this, you know, we got to hold people down shit. I don't know anybody in my industry that of which I know a ton, that wouldn't welcome you, no matter whom you are. If you're intelligent and smart and you can do well with whatever, you know, thing that you offer. You know, if I needed help with a movie shoot and I needed a camera person, I don't give a damn if you come to me tattooed up with rings out of your nose and all that kind of stuff. You come to me as a older Black gentleman. You come to me as a young Asian artist. I don't care. If you're good, Let's work together. Let's collab. Absolutely. 110%. I have people that I work with that are, in a sense, people that I respect because they hold a position of power over what I can and can't do, that they're not older white dudes. One is, but the rest of them aren't. And they know I love them all equally. So it's not 110% that bad everywhere. I'm not saying that it doesn't exist, but I'm just saying look for the good in people. Stop looking for the shitty. It's easy to find a shitty person, you know. Raise your sights a little bit is what I would say. And I would seek diversity in opinions of people. Especially expert views that challenge mine. Because if I didn't, I wouldn't enjoy the level of intelligence that I feel like I've gained by doing that. I stay grounded in facts. I stay grounded in logic. And don't get distracted with rhetoric, because that's all it is. It's just rhetoric bullshit. If you think something's wrong, then let's fix it. I'm on your side. Especially if you're wanting to do good. And by the way, I love tattoos and I think piercings and all that kind of stuff are cool. So, you know, but there are people that I know that wouldn't hire you. And I, for that, I think they're short-sighted, but they just wouldn't because they have, customers that they just feel like that's inappropriate as a look. So that kind of sucks. So is there inequality or is there prejudice in certain things? I would imagine so. But are you going to let that bring you down or are you going to break that gap? I work with a woman who her body's completely covered in tattoos. And I would set her up against anybody in a research contest. When it comes to researching, and I'm not talking about easy research things. I'm talking about, you know, ancient civilization type stuff and that kind of thing. Stuff that gets deep into who we are and where we come from. And I would happily bet on Jess before I would put some, you know, and it doesn't matter, you know, because I embrace who people are. I don't embrace what people are. I embrace who people are. I don't care what makes up your looks, your haircut, your clothes. That's stupid if you look at that in my opinion. If you're going to judge a book by its cover, knock yourself out. I'm not. I'm going to read the book. And when I do that, man, I've made some unbelievable friends and made some unbelievable colleagues and some unbelievable people that I collaborate with all the time. And they do the same for me. They don't look at me like I'm some old dude that's not hip or, you know, I work with some young women that can't imagine not working with me. And we are generations apart. But we respect each other's opinions and values and what we bring to the table and our intelligence and our creativity. We don't look at the fact that they're in their late 20s and I'm 60. It's not what we all look at. We're in for what can we put out into the world that makes a difference, that tells a story. Because at the end of the day, that's what we are. We're storytellers. That's my thing. That's why we're talking about my book. It's because I'm a storyteller. I enjoy telling stories. I enjoy telling you things about my life and things that have helped me that I hope will help you. You can think I'm full of shit or you can think whatever. But that's just, you know. One thing I like about, I grew up close to the Mescalero Indian Reservation, and I'm currently working on some stuff with another tribe. And, you know, even to this day, they go to their elders and say, this is what we want to do. This is the things that we're working on. And they make a decision from wisdom. And I think that's so amazing. And I respect it. 110%. You know, if for some reason they tell me no, then that I respect that and I move on. I do something else. But I like telling those stories. You know, we can all have differences of opinion. We can all, you know, and I know I'm kind of belaboring that point, but it's such a big thing right now. And I hate it that, you know, so many people can and do come together, but all we get spoon-fed all day is what divides us. I don't want to be divided from people that I have a dissenting view about. Nor would I, you know, if you were going to read one of my books or watch one of our documentaries or want to come onto my podcast. Cool. Come on. And if you wanted to say, I don't agree with this or I don't agree with that, okay. Then give me some reasons to see it your way. And that's what I think is crazy is if we don't sit down and tell each other why we believe certain ways and we're able to sit down and discuss it, you know, it's like, damn. I rarely ever hear, you know, you see all these guys like Ben Shapiro and Candace Owens and all that kind of stuff, and they get all these, you know, it's never really a question more than it is pointing out what people, you know, they think they're shit bags. And then they can't really tell you why they're a shit bag other than that's what their friend said. Or that's what their little movement says when they don't really understand or have listened to anything. You know, we can have a dissenting view. I don't subscribe to a homosexual lifestyle, but I have homosexual friends. They don't come at me about heterosexual things, and I don't go at them about homosexual things, because that's not, at the end of the day, that's really not a good argument. At that point, you get into what's in your heart. What do you do as a human being? What do you, you know, what contribution do you make to this life? And that's why I have the friends that I have that are homosexual. Is because they do bring beautiful things to my life. the most important of which is their soul, their heart. Again, this is friends that if they called me and said, hey, I need you right now, I'd be the first back in their driveway. I wouldn't say, well, no, you're gay, I'm not going to help you. I don't look at them like that. It's just like Dennis and I are always laughing. You know, he goes, well, I guess now, Bob, I have to introduce you as my white cracker friend, Bob, and you have to introduce me as your, you know, black ghetto person, Dennis, you know. And we never, in all of our years, have we ever looked at each other in a way that would be disparaging of one or the other of what our backgrounds is. We like each other. We love each other, but we've been best friends forever. Mostly because we get each other. We understand each other. I don't look at Dennis any other way than he's my friend. Somebody I can open up to. Somebody if I need a pal, if I need somebody to talk to, or if I need somebody, you know, to say, hey man, I'm a little, I'm in trouble, I need your help. He'd be the first one in my driveway. That's a two-way street. And if I follow some herd mentality of, you know, we're all separated, I'm holding him down, you know, you wouldn't hear that coming out of his mouth. Because we don't. We don't look at each other that way. That's just fucking crazy. Again, you don't have to agree with a dissenting viewpoint, but what I would say is find the truth. Read what other people are saying. You don't have to agree with it, but at least hear their point. You know, when you go into a courtroom and the judge is there, judge is going to tell you real quick, shut up. You're going to have a time to talk. If you keep interrupting him. So think about this. When you're giving a viewpoint, you better have some good arguments, because if you can't convince the judge that it's, you know, you say, well, there's two sides of the fence here. You need to make the decision of the judge being yourself. You need to make that decision really hard for yourself. You need to hear both sides of the story before you make a decision, in my humble opinion. Because again, if you follow what everybody's saying you should do, is that really a life that you want? Do you want to not be able to say, I'm my own man, I'm my own woman? No. You want to be able to say, I'm me. And this is what I believe. And stand true to that. Don't say this is me because everybody told me this is who I had to be. The hell kind of a life is that? No matter what side of the fence you're on. Develop an eye for logical fallacies, faulty assumptions, and other hallmarks of poor reasoning when assessing arguments. Because I promise you, when these people go in, let's say that these conservative people are going into your school or wherever, and they're going to talk to you, I guarantee you they're coming with guns a-blazing, meaning they're going to have their facts so well put together that you, my friend, if you have a dissenting view, you better load yourself up so that you can fire back. Get into a discussion. Imagine if you hate everything there is about Candace Owens, for example, or Ben Shapiro, you know, and you went in and you took them aback. They said, "Whoa, wait a minute. Damn, I wasn't ready for that." But you're a scumbag, you're a this, fuck you. Those aren't arguments. Screaming at them is not a question. But if you can fire back and say, "Wait a minute, here's where I take exception to what you're saying, and this is the facts that I have to back that up." And you present that in a way, and you make everybody in the room go, "Damn, dude, where'd you learn that?" Everybody goes, "Damn, cowboy, woo!" I would wholeheartedly be standing ovation for you. Because it's deserving of that. That's what's cool about having different forms or different opinions. If you can make a really, really good claim, and you put out something that when the jury goes back, it's going to be hard. It's going to be damn hard. Because your closing arguments were, they were the shit. They were the bomb. Because you did it from a place of intelligence. Fuck you is not a place of intelligence. Sorry. Curse words and screaming and yelling and all that kind of shit. That, no. Violence, nope. Doesn't make a good point. Sitting out on the freeway and gluing your hands to the ground, not helping your case. Because then people get tired of hearing your argument. Oh God, not another, fucking environmental tree hugger on the fucking freeway because I'm trying to get home. Because that's really kind of where all that goes. I get what you're trying to do, and I understand it. But you ain't selling me fucking with my life. Just like I wouldn't say, I'm not pouring gasoline out on the damn highway. Because for most things, when you look at it, especially environmental stuff, there is, you can put as many people who will tell you that it's a hoax that you can as many people who tell you that it's a real thing that we need to be worried about. So, there again, it's where is your, what you got to back it up? And learn not to make knee-jerk opinions. If someone says something that just drives you to your core, think about it before you blurt out something. Don't give knee-jerk opinions. Learn to rise above that because you can. You are better than that. Even if we disagree, if you raise a good point, I'm going to listen to you. Because then all of a sudden I'm kind of thinking, well, wait a minute, that's a pretty damn good point. So then it opens my eyes. Fuck you doesn't open my eyes. Something that's accurate and something that's strong and something that you said this, 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 and this, and this is how I back this, and this up. And it completely, for lack of a better word, destroys my narrative. Then I got to reassess. And I got to say, you know what? You gave me something to research and think about. Hands off, or, that's hats off. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. That's absolutely something that opened my eyes today. And I am going to reevaluate. So that's the effect that I think anybody in any type of herd mentality thing, when you think about it, you want to be able to make a point that that someone goes, you know what, I'm going to have to reevaluate my thought. That's a win. Getting someone to see things your way, or at least begin to see things your way, or say, wait a minute, that does open up, and we do need to discuss this more. Fuck you and king everybody's car out in the parking lot ain't gonna, you know, that's just crazy. But that's what the herd mentality would get you to do. So be that lone person that comes up and says, you know, I don't agree with you, and here's why, and here's my reasons, and here's how I back it up. That's your mic drop moment, isn't it? I'd rather do that than, you know, be sitting in a paddy wagon with a whole bunch of other idiots because I followed a bunch of damn fools in, you know, destroying property or, you know, blocking the street. You know, I avoid the herd mentality 100%. Because I don't want to be, you know, if I'm part of a group, I still want to be able to have my own opinion. If I 110% believe in a group, then that's one thing. If the message is clear, if the message is there. But make sure that you've done your homework before you subscribe to that. You know, how many times have you been in a situation where you regretted going? You know, imagine a world where we all could actually have a civil discussion. Most of the things that are getting argued today are things that, you know, you can vote those things away. If you get a, you know. But don't be sheep. Be you. Be a strong you. Be an educated you. And I promise you, and that's what I strive to do, is I try to research everything and do things that I think are really going to make a difference in my life. Because I have to live with a lot of shit. You know, there's a lot of things out there that you just have to live with. It's the cards that were dealt. So I try to develop a disciplined critical thinking skills. You know, I listen to what other people are saying. I know why, you know, that environmentalists are super gluing their hands. See, but throwing a bunch of tomato paste on the Mona Lisa, what the fuck? I mean, dude, come on. That makes your story tiresome. I didn't sit here and go, you know what, I'm going to go buy a Tesla today because some chick threw tomato paste on the Mona Lisa. It's not how I made a decision to go buy a Tesla. Think about it. Most of you are probably laughing because it's just like what I tell people that, you know, making something look like a circus. You know, years ago in the automotive business, you know, they want to put all these balloons and all this shit out. And I'm sitting there going, what person is going down the road and going, oh my God, look at their balloons. Let's go buy a new truck. When all that money could have been spent so much more creatively. I mean, it is what it is. What am I called to make? But I'm sitting there going, you know, that's just stupid. Because nobody makes a decision based on doing something stupid. You know, I would go buy a Tesla, and I love the new Tesla truck. The Cybertruck is badass, cool as shit. I think it's one of the neatest things ever. I even went on the site, what, day before yesterday and looked, because now it's on the Tesla site, and I'm sitting there going, well, I wonder how much this is, you know? So I went in and I looked at the all-wheel drive, because I would need all-wheel drive, and I'm sitting there going, well, hell, that's as much as basically a truck that if, because I drive a pickup, and if I was going to replace my pickup, it'd be about the same as a Tesla truck. And so I'm like, I don't know. So I'm thinking about it, but I'm not thinking about it because, you know, some dude super glued his fucking pants to the freeway in Germany. When again, when you're making a point, there's making a point and there's making a point. Doing something stupid makes your point tiresome. It makes it very pedestrian. Making a very well articulated response with things to back it up, that's a different story. You know, so I thinking about buying a Tesla, maybe, and really even beginning the shopping stage of that, lets you know that I'm not 110% fossil fuel, even though I live in a state that, you know, you know everybody's saying, I want to stop fossil fuels. Well, won't you come tell the millions of families in Texas and other oil-rich states? They don't have a fucking job. Because most of the people that are screaming that, their family doesn't rely on the oil and gas industry. They can get a job doing something else. Okay. It's like telling third generation coal miners that they, you know, they can go code computers. That didn't work out real well. Those were some of the most horrendous, huge failures of anything. I'm not saying that coal's the right resource, but it's something to think about. And here's the thing. You know, the exhaust in a car, everybody's saying, you know, we need to stop all this stuff. And then the car manufacturers were mandated for certain carbon emission things in the manufacturing process. And most of which, the bulk of which, you know, most cars, you know, you can don't put off a bunch of emissions. And there's things you can do. Soccer moms can turn off the cars while they wait for their kids in the thing. You know, there's a lot of engines out there that are like golf carts. When you stop at the street light, the engine goes off, and then when you start back up, you know, then the engine starts back up. There's a solution. This gets down to my point too that I made in, I don't know how, you know, written a couple in my books and done other podcasts and written articles about it, is what if we took some of the brain power that we're using to kill people with military industrial complex and learn how to turn fossil fuels into something that burns clean. That technology could be done. And there's going to be people screaming, no, I can't, no, I can't, no, I can't. Really? Why? Who said it couldn't? If great scientists said that, we wouldn't have half the shit that we have. How many times does the every time you get a new computer, it has cooler, better, and more wonderful shit on it? Why? Because technology changes. Because technology gets better. Your cell phone, each new cell phone cycle, the telephone technology is badass. My son and I, who for years have, I've been an Apple man and he's been a Samsung man. And we tease each other about, who has the better phone. And you know what? He had me look when the S24 came out. He had me look, and for 2 decades, I've been using Apple. And guess what I have in my pocket today? A Samsung S24. Because he had me look at things that he knew I was interested in, especially the camera. And the camera is absolutely badass on a Samsung S24. He made a compelling argument that convinced me that changing was probably a good idea, and I did, and I'm happy. But we've had that argument for literally, 20, God, since he very first got a phone when he was little. Had to, and he's always had Samsung phones, and he loves them. And he convinced his dad to see things his way. So there you have it. Be courageous. Question things that you may agree with, but are you agreeing because everybody else is? And you just want to follow everybody else? Or do you want to look at it from a point of view and say, wow, that there is something to be said here. Anyway, it's food for thought. So, all of my books and everything, if you follow the link in our description, which is our link tree, that will take you and it'll open up for you to see my Amazon book page, which has all my books. It's my author page on Amazon. You can see our Flight Risk News, our news channel. You can see my personal blog, which is robertbruton.com, and all my articles and things that I write about there. You can really just get a nice feel for what I do and why I do it. And I hope that a lot of my books are things that you'll find useful in your journey and be able to use those to make a, speed up the process of your life change. And that's really what I'm hoping is that it helps you maybe get further down the road than it took me to get here. So, and I'm always happy to, you can, there's also a contact me thing there and I answer everybody. So if you send me a note, I will happily answer it. Okay. So, and it's not something that you'll get some canned deal. It'll be a email response from me, and I will do my best to answer whatever question you might have. So anyway, I appreciate you tuning in. Thank you so much. This is the Flight Risk Podcast Show, and again, I'm your host, Robert Bruton. Bye for now.